find some funk out there. Just in case, we gotta rip this joint up.
So here's the thing. I'm looking at some of the country's finest thugs, and of course, young Mozart in a go-kart over there. People love great bank robbery stories, so let's give them something bold and brazen as to talk about over their lattes.
What's you listening to?
Let me see.
Tequila!
This shit is bananas, Doc.
Tequila.
Nowhere to run to, baby. Nowhere to hide.
The crown jewel of the summer has finally arrived. I'm talking about Baby Driver. Well, I'm singing about Baby Driver, at least here. And this is my most anticipated film of the summer. It wasn't that at the first, though, I gotta say. The first time I saw the trailer, I was like, it's alright. I like it. It's not mind-blowing like everyone else is saying. Then I watched it a few more times, and I was like, maybe I was just upset because that trailer came out around the time Collide came out, that... What was that? Nicholas Hoult movie came out with Felicity Jones. And it was kind of almost the same damn premise here, except without the music. And I was like, ugh, I really don't want to see no more movies like that. But then the trailer just grew on me more. And I find it to be one of the most entertaining trailers I saw this year. It's crazy. Music blends in the way the characters in the trailer beat to the drum of the music that's playing that you're listening to. It was pretty damn spectacle, I must say. And then plus, you got these badass car chase sequences. So, when I got my early screening of this movie, I was like, fuck yeah, shit. Ready to nowhere to run to tequila. Yeah, they didn't play Boga at all in this movie, which was, I'm not gonna lie, I was pretty disappointed. I was hoping they would have played it at least when he was in the red Subaru, which that car chase sequence, he's only in the Subaru that one time, people, so. But let's go ahead and give a plot synopsis here. We have Ansel Elgort, and this is Edgar Wright's, 3, 4, 5, what is this, his fifth film, I believe? I think it's his fifth film directing, if I'm not mistaken. Somewhere around there. Edgar Wright is finally making an American-made movie here. It ain't set in Canada or ain't set in fucking the good old UK, if you will, with his so-called putting in quotes trilogy there with Hot Fuzz, The World's End, and Shaun of the Dead. You got Ansel Elgort. He plays Baby. And we all seen the trailer. His mother, she was kind of a... I don't want to say country. She was a singer, though, of this kind of 50s, 60s style R&B. And she also worked at a diner, too, because, you know, you got to work your way up to get there. But we kind of see flashbacks of his childhood where his father was kind of abusing his mother. And one day they were in the car arguing, and she made this turn, and, well, basically, she should have zigged when she zagged, and next thing you know it, she got into a car accident. I'm assuming that both her parents died, mother and father. I don't really think he gave a shit about his father dying, though. So he has a hum in the dream. Was it tuberculitis? Is that what it's called? Can't remember what it's called. Either way, though, he has a ringing in the ear, whatever, so he drowns it out with music, and it helps him focus more. And plus, the reason why he drowns it out with a certain style of music, too, because I heard someone say this to me when we was after we got done watching the movie and we were signing out those little cards and stuff like that. It was like, there was no music of today's era, and I was like, today's era music suck ass. That's why. Well, but then I told her I was like, well, I'm assuming he played this type of music because that's what his mother sing to and listen to. So, because he also played a certain style of damn near 50s through 70s R&B music here. Not necessarily if they were released in that time frame, but more so the fact that it had that stylistic choice of that time frame. So she kind of agreed with me. So, he works for Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey is played by... Kevin Spacey plays Doc in here. And he's kind of the leader of this underground criminal warlord where he pretty much robs banks and whatever he can to get his hands on a lot of money here. The way they met is Kevin Spacey told him a story. Hey, I hate to steal money from you, but you got to pay off your debt. I guess when Baby was about, what do you say, 7 years old, 11 years old, somewhere around that time, he stole his Mercedes with a trunk full of dope. The only thing is, well, Baby didn't know who that car belonged to when he stole that car. So now he's in debt to Doc here, aka Kevin Spacey. And he only has, in this movie, I believe it was two more missions. The one you see at the beginning, and then he had one more mission after that with Jamie Foxx. So he had one more mission to go, basically, and he, you know, they'd be settled square and fair. That's it. He ends up meeting a lady by the name of Lily James, who plays Deborah, with a O-R-A. Oh. And who looks absolutely lovely in this film, by the way. And he ends up falling for her, you know. She also, and the way he does fall for her, too, is she's singing Baby, you know. And, you know, B-A-B-Y, baby. You know, she's got that certain style, too. And he's just, like, looking like, oh, yeah, girl, I hear you calling my name. He ends up falling for her. And they have a romantic, well, I wouldn't say romantic, but they have a certain relationship here. Only until Doc calls him back into the game. Who says, yeah, just because we're squared doesn't mean we're finished, though. Just think about what I could do to you if you don't show up. I could break your fucking legs and all that stuff. And plus, what was the blind dude's name? Was this C.J. Jones? Yeah, I think it was C.J. Jones who plays Joseph in the film. He was basically Baby's foster dad. And, man, he was he's deaf. And in a wheelchair. I said blind. He's deaf and in a wheelchair. C.J. Jones, he's deaf and in a wheelchair. So him and Baby, they communicate through sign languages, which was actually a really unique stylistic choice that they showed in the beginning of the film here. And he said, I'll kill him. And, you know, that nice little waitress girlfriend of yours? Hey, well, let's make her keep that. Let's make sure she stays that way then. So Baby decides to do it. Only for this shit to really go off extreme because, well, Jamie Foxx's character is there. And Jamie Foxx is fucking crazy. So, and Jamie Foxx is, where is he at, actually? Where the fuck is he at, Jamie Foxx? How is John Bernthal above Jamie Foxx here? I mean, John Bernthal is in that one fucking scene, you know? There it goes. Bats is his name. Bats is Jamie Foxx's character. And he's the fucking crazy one. As you see in the trailer, he's when they ask him, he's got mental problems. And he tells Baby, I'm the one with the mental problems. That position's already filled. Jamie Foxx is awesome in here. I mean, and he was fucking terrifying too. Because basically all of his stories ended up with him killing someone and shit like that. Like nobody in his stories lived. And even there was a scene where they were supposed to meet up with Doc's guys. You see it when he does the tequila song and stuff. That song actually does play in that sequence. I think one of the guys that they were supposed to meet, he asked him, he says, do I know you? Have we met before? Or whatever. And Jamie Foxx is like, well, you're still alive, so I'm going to say no. So the dialogue here is just written at its perfection. It's best. I mean, Jamie Foxx has some of the funniest lines, I will say. Because after they end up killing all these guys, because Jamie Foxx find out they're undercover cops. But they're undercover cops that work for Doc, Kevin Spacey's character here. And John Hamm is in his face like, the fuck is wrong with you, Bat? So he's like, are you crazy? You got my girl shot and stuff like that. And he was like, them are pigs right there. Them hogs right there. You see that? That's ADA right there. And then he said, what if somebody fucking finds out about this? He's like, the only way them hogs gonna find out who we are is with a motherfucking Ouija board. I was like, Jamie Foxx was funny as fuck in this film. I was mind blown. I'm not gonna lie. It's been a long time since I've seen Jamie Foxx good in something. It was just like, oh, he was like just killing it in this role. And he could tell he was having so much fun with this damn role too. It's almost like it was like finally. Someone let me be fucking crazy. I'm tired of being the pseudo funny man or something like that. Well, then again, I guess he's kind of funny here, but I guess more sense of talking about like the Annie role he had and stuff like that. I'm going to be the leading male here, whatever, but I'm going to be the funny straight faced guy. It's like, that's not, you suck at that. So, but he was awesome in here. So this mission goes completely just after they killed all these guys, whatever, they just go completely bonkers. They end up killing. They end up fucking that whole mission up. So they got to do get new intel contacts and stuff like that. So Baby ends up fucking this mission up because he's like, I'm not doing this shit no more or whatever and stuff. I gotta take you guys out. At least take some of the few out, that the ones that are really crazy. And then I guess that's really your plot synopsis, I'd like to say here. Let me get into this first hour here. This first hour of Baby Driver is the most unique, creative thing I've seen all year. It is fucking incredible. I mean, it is awesome as shit. The opening here with the music. And I don't even know some of the music choices neither. Nor do I even remember some of the music choices that were played here. But they just fit the scenic so well. There's this scene, the opening of the movie is like him dancing to go get the coffee. Because they always got to get coffee after they break a mission or something like that. And as he's dancing to the music, the music is fitting the fucking background of the city that they're in. They're in downtown Atlanta, too. There's a lot of graffiti art on the walls and stuff like that. Not like graffiti art is tagging with letters and stuff like that. I mean, like, murals and drawings and stuff like that. So, like, as he's dancing through the street and they're not even really noticing what is around him, it's kind of like when you put headphones in your head and you close your eyes, whatever, and you just start dancing and grooving to the beat. He didn't even recognize almost anyone in front of him or nothing like that. He was just dancing to the beat. And as he's passing all these graffiti art drawings and stuff like that, it's like hitting the same notes as the music was. It was fucking incredible. I was like, looking at that, I was like, ah, that's awesome, actually. And actually, the opening of the movie, too, is the big the car chase with, we got John Hammond here. We got, who plays Buddy. John Hammond plays Buddy. You got Iza Gonzalez, who plays Darling in here. Mm. Oh, my God. That Iza Gonzalez, too. Let me just go ahead and say, born in 1990, 2 years younger than me then. All right. Born in Mexico City. This girl right here. Oof. Not going to lie. I need to get a piece of that. Put her on the wife list real quick. Go ahead and add her. Add her, goddammit. You know what, Iza Gonzalez? You know what happens when you look good in the film? You just made the list. That's right. Writing you down there now. That's my baby right there. Baby. No pun intended there. You got John Bernthal plays Griff. They end up robbing this bank. And John Bernthal in this sequence is kind of the Jamie Foxx character that we get to see later on. This is the only scene John Bernthal is in. And this was probably one of the best cop car chase sequences I've ever seen in a movie. This is up there with, like, that Raid 2 sequence with the car. This one was definitely up in here. And it's very fucking funny, too, because this is a year where Fast and Furious came out. And those movies are all about cars. And yet, those movies still fucking suck when it comes to their car sequences and action sequences. And here, this car chase was bad to the fucking ass. I was blown away by this. The music that was played, the way he drives and drifts and stuff like that through the city of downtown, the way he makes his turns and stuff, everything just looks so unique and organic, and you can tell, like, it was just practical effects as well. I'm sure there was some CGI in there, but it was pretty damn hard to see it as well. It really looked like somebody was driving through the city of Atlanta here. And then you got that sequence you see in the trailer where the two trucks are backing out and he drifts to turn around and spins around and stuff. The way that camera angle was just shot, it just flowed beautifully. I was like, holy shit, dude. I'm already on the edge of my seat right here. I'm like, yeah, give me more of this. I was like, this might be the best damn action film I've seen in quite some time. Probably since, when that last Mission Impossible film come out? It was like 2 years ago? God damn. Okay. I can't remember most of the action films last year, because I like to blank last year out of my fucking mind how terrible it was. But, no, this looked damn good. When we kind of get with John Hamm and Iza Gonzalez's character is they're a married couple. Jamie Foxx kind of breaks down John Hamm's character about how he was an investment banker at one point. But now, you know, because pretty much Jamie Foxx calling him out, you're a bigger crook than I am, you know, fucking people over on a daily basis and stuff here. And he's kind of, I'll do anything for my woman type deal here. And they have great chemistry together. And the one thing that I liked about them, too, is how they worked well together. You see in the trailer as well where he cocks her gun back as she shoots and he reloads it for her. And then they still shoot. It just looked badass on how most things flowed here together. I gotta look these guys up, man. I have to, because Who was the fucking editor on this damn team? Because I know it was like two people, if I'm not mistaken. Whoa, shit, never mind. There was more than two people here. Shut up, BlackBerry. Jonathan Y. Dickinson, he was the conform editor here. Where are we at? He's one of them. Well, you know what? Just fuck it. I'll go through this whole list. Jason Esquivel, Dave Kent, Thomas Kuo, Ken Liberty, Jenny Lindemood, Christopher McDonald, Jessica Medlicoy, Johnny Monks, Lay Myers, James Painting, Jatine Patel, Cesar Guto Paletti, Jerry Ramsbottom. You know that ain't your real fucking name. Come on now. Otto Rod, Evan Schiff, Ben Roy Turn, Matt Wallach, and Isabel Zipper. You get my standing ovation in here. This is probably one of the most tightest, best editing films I've probably seen in the sequences that went on here. A special thanks to Nick Angel, apparently, too. Yes, I'm on IMDb, goddammit. The editing in here was just so slick and so smooth. That's the thing about Edgar Wright's films, too, is the editing is always just phenomenal. I don't know if he works with the same team in previous movies, but you can even easily tell, especially something like Scott Pilgrim, where the editing is, like, to the point and cuts to the chase and stuff like that. His editing is so slick. And it shows in here, too, especially when it gets to the action sequences in there. And you just gotta... I love this film on a technical aspect, on how just fantastic it looks all around on the technical aspect. That's not even getting into the film neither, but on the technical aspect, I think this is a cinematic masterpiece right here, especially with this first hour here and the way it flows and stuff. John Hamm and the Isaac Gonzalez character, there's a sequence where she's telling Jamie Foxx, like, you don't know who the fuck we are, and you don't want to push Buddy, which is John Hamm's character, you don't want to push Buddy to the fucking brink of his edge, or because when he gets to that point, that boiling point, he sees red, and there ain't no coming back for it. The way they set this up, I thought was fucking awesome, I gotta say, because it really does set up for John Hamm's character towards the end, where after, you know, Jane Fox kind of a fucking pushover, and they do this last mission to rob the post office of, what were they? Oh man, I forgot what not mailing orders. What a check order? Yeah, check orders and stuff, because they know somebody who can turn that into real cash and stuff. And they tried to ride this post office sequence here, and Ansel Elgort, who decides, I'm not taking this shit no more. He kills Jamie Foxx with this truck in front of him and stuff, and the cops end up catching up with them. They end up shooting at this long chase scene, which was actually really shot well, too. Especially the sequence you see in the trailer where he's jumping over the booths and the table and stuff like that. That Ansel Elgort kid, that motherfucker can move. I know he can, I think he's a real, is he a pop singer or R&B or whatever he is? I know he sings in real life and stuff like that. So the kid definitely has talent here. But there was something about this movie here with Ansel Elgort, too. I've seen him around. You've seen him in Divergent, Fault in Our Stars, which I didn't really give a fuck about neither. But in here, I thought he had a certain charisma about him, and his personality strode through this movie with the quiet, strong, silent type in a way, because he emotes so much with his face, the way he moves and dance, and sign language, and the way he beats to the drum of the music as well, too. It just looked fucking phenomenal or whatever. Like, so Edgar Wright really brought something out of the kid with all of his technical abilities added to the film here. But they end up killing Isa Gonzalez. The cops end up putting a bullet in her ass. And John Hamm, yeah, when that scene I was talking about where she's like, when he goes to the brink, he sees red. That was the love of his life in this film. And he blames Baby for it. He's like, you fucked up the mission and you got my wife killed, so now I gotta fucking murder your ass. But he just, they played his music, and he gets his rifle out, and he puts a bullet in every single one of these cops, like, with no hesitation, no ease. It's almost like he transformed into the, like, a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type thing, because he was a cool-ass character, always sticking up for Baby and talking about music himself. He was almost highly influenced his music as well, like Baby and stuff. So when he made this transformation, it was just fucking bloodlusty. I mean, even Optimus Prime was going like, how would you like to ride in my truck? I feel like we'd have some great road conversations about the battles we were in. You know, this dude, he let off on these cops, and throughout the whole movie, he started getting more menacing and more menacing. Just the look in his face, his dialogue, the way he was talking. John Hamm, okay, I've loved this dude since Mad Men. Matter of fact, he was one of the standing outs of Mad Men while I watched. I love that style of Mad Men. Plus, I just loved him as an actor. It's finally nice for the see for that show to end and to see him start to get movie roles, which he started doing. But those movies really didn't really have any kind of high point outs or nothing like that. But John Hamm, I've always wanted this guy to be big. I think he should be one of the biggest fucking stars in Hollywood, to be honest. Hell, I think he should have been Batman at one point. Hell, I think he'd make a great-ass villain in any Marvel, DC, not DCU right now, because, well, DCU right now kind of sucks ass through a straw. How about Wonder Woman? Yeah, three out of one move. Three out of four, yeah. One out of four, sorry. One out of four, yeah. They're doing so well, right? And mind you, that was back-to-back, those three, too. I think he would just crush it. And this movie definitely shows. I mean, he is, like, pushed to the brink of just putting a bullet in Baby throughout this whole film. Talked about also Elgert in the film here as well. Oh, and the way he died, too, was just brutal as shit, where Baby was pushing his car off the one of those parking structure buildings, but he hung on. And ended up knocking him down and stuff like that, and he fell and just blew up on the car too. Pretty damn brutal, I gotta say, but I loved it. I fucking loved it. John Bernthal, you never see him again. Jamie Foxx, like I said, he has some of the best lines. Kevin Spacey is awesome. Kevin Spacey's doing Kevin Spacey. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. Kevin Spacey, it's his dialogue, the way it's given too, it's almost in such a nonchalant way of how he delivers it. And it's pretty badass the way he does it as well. I mean, I think, honestly, no one else could have done that role except for Kevin Spacey. It just seemed like it fit him just perfect to the T here. And even though he kind of have this thing with Baby ends up taking the money orders to him and saying, here's the money, you know, because they end up finding that Baby, he records every conversation. I wouldn't say every conversation, but most conversations he's interacting with, whether it's them or other people and stuff like that, because he makes mixtapes out of certain quotes, you may say. Like, he made a mixtape out of when they said, is he mental? Or, and then Kevin Spacey say, was he slow? Then they said no. He made a mixtape just out of that one line. And they ended up finding out that Baby made these tapes. So they end up going to his house with his old man there. And they end up splashing tapes on him and going like, oh, this motherfucker's been, he's been recording us. We need to kill him now and stuff like that and get rid of these tapes. But they decide to listen to one because he said it's just a mixtape. They listen to it and go there, and that's when he's gonna, yo, this shit is bananas, yo. So he was like, oh, he does make mixtapes out of it. But god damn it, he still records us. So we got to get a new driver. We got to do this whole mission. He tells him, hell no, I got this mission. I can do it. I'm on this road. I'm your driver. I'm your man. So he ends up taking Baby. But he, like I said, he comes back with a check and say, hey, I brought this to you now. Let me get at least one tape. One tape had his mom in there, and he constantly has flashbacks of his mom throughout the film, and he just wanted that one mom tape. And Lily James' character walks in. He's like, fuck, and he just kind of gives it to him. Kind of tells Baby, here's some money. Here's a car. Just go across the border. You guys are really fucked. You're in a fucked up situation right now. Cops are looking for you nonstop. And this is a part of the movie too where I was kind of like, yeah, because he had cops all over him. Like, his face was all over. And I was just like, yeah, I don't see where this ends well at all for you. And I was hoping and praying to God that this wasn't something like, they found enough evidence on, you know, the Jamie Foxx character and them to clear his name and stuff like. And it was like, I hope you don't go that route because that'd suck ass. No, they don't go that route. They don't go that route at all. Once they catch his ass, because him and Lily James, after they killed John Hamm, they look like they're on the road set free and about to drive on the road and do what she wanted to do, you know, just get on the road and just get away with music and everything. No, as soon as they get far enough, there was a cop patrol borderline set up there on the front and behind him, and they arrested his ass. And although all the victims that were involved, the people, the witnesses and stuff like that, Ted, he was a nice kid, you know, he just kind of got caught up in this. He had served 25 years of life and 25 years in prison for that shit. They didn't give a fuck. They straight up stuck his ass in prison. I was like, oh damn. I was like, oh. I was like, you know, most of these movies, they don't necessarily end this way. You know, the good guy, he usually gets away or escape or something like that with the girl and they live at. Nah, Edgar Wright said, fuck that. That nigga's going to jail. I was like, damn, all right. Getting the Lily James character here, although I did enjoy her and I thought she was great in the role for what she did, I feel like there wasn't enough to her in the film. She's barely on screen, and the interactions are not that much in here. Also, I will say that the relationship is sped up so quickly here that maybe for some people it might be hard to believe, but then probably you could overlook it because she's probably barely in the film anyway, so it's like, eh, who cares? But I would say that their relationship, it kind of happened a little quicker than I thought it would. I thought more of the movie, or at least the middle half of it, would have spent more time on them. But it doesn't, and for me, it was fine or whatever. Like, I don't think it stuck out so bad to where it was just like most movies, it was like, oh, man, look at this shit here. But I will point out that probably is one of the big, I wouldn't say big, it's kind of nitpicking for me, to be honest. I love this movie so much. But one of the criticisms that Lily James' character is, they don't really do much with her at all on the scene. John Hamm, like I said, is great. John Bernthal, for a little bit of time, he's great. There's certain people in here, too. You see the one dude in one trailer where he's got the tattoo in his hat. And he was just like, hat? He was like, he used to say hate, but then to increase my chance of employment, I had the E removed. So it's just hat now. And he's like, has that been working? Who doesn't like hats? He said it with that straight face just like that too, whatever. So that was awesome. A lot of quirky dialogue, I thought the dialogue in here was the strongest part, to be honest. Even with the title being called Baby Driver, which I know some people are probably like, ugh, I don't, that sounds terrible, whatever. But, you know, most films like this, they say that it's always style over substance and stuff like that. I will say that this is style, has a lot of style, but there is some substance to it too. It's not just moving to the beat of a drum here and just working off of that, you know, like Tron Legacy or anything that is it Tarsem Singh that did like the Mirror Mirror and the kind of like the 300, I forgot what the damn name movie, like the 300 style movie, and they're all gold and shit like that. I can't remember that was Tarsem Singh, I believe. But I think Edgar Wright adds a lot of clever dialogue. He has some heart in here, especially with the mother and the foster parent here. You actually do care about that. The relationship between John Hamm and Isa Gonzalez characters here, they kind of find out kind of what's their gig and what's their story here. So I would say, man, this movie, it's probably my favorite of the summer so far. You know, saw Spider-Man, saw Guardians, saw this. Probably my only good. Actually, I saw some indie films here, which I'll probably either give reviews for, or if I like them enough, maybe they'll make my top 10 best of the summer or something like that. We'll find out. Haven't seen War of the Apes yet, though. So that and probably Valerian are the only two left that might be on my radar so far. I know some people are going like, Valerian? Ugh. God. Shout out to Valerian, looks gorgeous. I don't give a fuck what nobody says. Right. I got to drop a high seed on this. I know when people are like, oh my god, it's the second high seed since Transformers. Yeah, it's like, you goddamn right. I got to get this a high seed. I enjoyed everything about this movie here. Like I said, that first hour is just cinematic gold. The second hour, it does kind of, I would say if the second hour for some people, it might slow down for them and become kind of more of the drama, less action side, stuff like that. Maybe some people will find it boring. I was entertained by it all, though. I think this is probably one of the most entertaining films this year. And that said, you know, every character is having fun and stuff like that. You can see the writing is really clever. The dialogue in here is really clever because, well, it's Edgar Wright, and that's what he does best with writing here. I think this man's going to be a great writer in Hollywood and directing, too. I mean, he's juggling both in most of his movie stuff here. So he's like up there that this dude not only can do some fucking quirky British movies that nobody want to fucking see, but this dude is just one day, maybe he'll be a household name. Maybe. One day. If he can get his shit together and start working with the big boys, you know. But I definitely want to give this a high seed, though. I love this movie, and I think people should just go check this out to support the film, not only, but just because it's a badass flick that I think everyone will love.
You the lucky one.
That's right. You tell him, babe.
Shit right there.
You're damn right.
I'm sorry, ma'am.